Well, good evening, church. Welcome to Tom back to Thomas Village Baptist Church on a beautiful Sunday evening. Hope you've had a good day. Hope you got your nap in. I did, so I'm more refreshed to hear the word. So let's stand and sing a song. Number 485, Stand Up for Jesus.
We had an eventful afternoon. I don't know about you, but we've got some family in from Arkansas and some from North Carolina, and so they all met. They wanted to go to High Knob and cook hot dogs, and we froze to death up there. It was like 43 degrees on top of that mountain. So we ate lunch, and then we all came back down. But something I hadn't done in a really long time in a Sunday evening service is, I don't know what you guys regularly do here, but there's not many of us here. I'd like to kind of almost get personal a little bit and just have some of you guys share what's been going on with you guys. What's some testimonies that you can come up with that the Lord's been good to you this week or the past month or however long? And has anybody got anything they'd like to share? Any kind of praises or anything like that? Open us up with. Oh, really? Well, good. Good. Yeah, you don't want hollering kids running around all sick. That's not good, is it? Mm-hmm. Yep. It's not an easy road right now, is it? But it is good to see Mr. Otis running around here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yep. It's good to rely on each other. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's been several times in my life also where I say, yeah, the Lord definitely intervened in that area, or I would have been out of this world many a times. Anybody else got anything? Anything you'd like to share? This past week, I mentioned it at our service at the church we attend. October 7th was the anniversary of my son. I don't know if anybody knows this or not about my son. I've got two girls and a boy. My son's the youngest. He's 13 now. He's out at Rycove. And he had leukemia when he was 1 year old. And we went through that with him. And similar to what Mr. Otis was saying, sometimes we don't understand the things we go through, but it does bring us closer together. And it brought a lot of people together. And the Lord taught us a lot of stuff through that. Now, my son, he don't remember any of it, you know. I mean, he, you know, as young as he was, he just don't remember that stuff. But he came close to passing away a couple different times. One time, he ended up having fevers all week. I can't remember how high they got, but it was just a solid fever for about 7 days straight. And he lost a bunch of body weight and just didn't know what we were going to do. He come out of that, and there was another time he developed a disease from one of the chemos, if I'm remembering everything right. But he ended up taking a drug that had not been tested yet. It had only been tested on pigs. And so today that drug is on the market, and it's helping people. But when he took it, it was just this is our only chance. There's nothing else we can do. We've tested it on animals, specifically in pigs, but we've not tested it anywhere else. And I said, if we don't do this, we don't know what else to do. He's going to go. I said, well, let's do it. You know, let's try it. And so he's our little experimental kid. That's what I call him. He's something else. But we're thankful he's here. October 7th was the anniversary that they declared him cancer-free. And that was 11 years ago, I think. 12 years ago. But anyway, there's things like that that happen to us in our life that you can look back on. And just like when Moses, the Lord allowed Moses to part the waters and everybody to pass through. And then after they got through, the stones were set as a remembrance. You know, they could bring their kids back here. And so it's good that we recognize those things. You know, I like to take a little time every once in a while and just, you know, say, hey, the Lord did this in my life. Let's look back and thank him for that. There's a lot of times, a lot of things we take for granted sometimes, isn't it? Well, let's, I kind of wanted to continue a little bit about what we talked about this morning in Nehemiah. This is not going to be, I'm not going to really preach to you tonight. I don't do this full time anyway. But many of you know we own the barbecue restaurant in town in Gate City. And so that's my full-time job. But I like being able to share the word when I can. It's always good to get together with a bunch of believers and do Bible study. So that's kind of what I want to do tonight. I want to kind of do Bible study. And so I've got some open-ended questions here. You guys feel free to answer the questions. Let's communicate. Kind of make it like a Sunday school almost, you know. We'll just kind of go back and forth here. But picking up where we left off this morning, out of Nehemiah 2, we were kind of left in that last verse there in verse 10. And as you get into verse 10 and you read through the end of chapter 2 and getting into 3, you start seeing some of the efforts that they had to go through. So let me start there in verse 10 of chapter 2, and I'll read through the end of 2 before we get into 3. I got a couple questions for you there. And hopefully you guys will pitch in for me. So in chapter 2, verse 10, it says, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard about it, it was very displeasing to them that someone had come to seek the welfare of the sons of Israel. Verse 11, Nehemiah starts to lead the people here. He says, so I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days, and I arose in the night, and a few men with me, I did not tell anybody what my God was putting into my mind to do for Jerusalem. And there was no animal with me except the animal on which I was riding. So I went out at night by the valley gate in the direction of the dragon's well and on to the refuge gate, inspecting the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which were consumed by fire. Then I passed on to the fountain gate and the king's pool, but there was no place for my mount to pass. So I went up at night by the ravine and inspected that wall. Then I entered the valley gate again and returned. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done, nor had I as yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the rest who did the work. Then I said to them, "You see the bad situation we are in, that Jerusalem is desolate and its gates burned by fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem so that we will no longer be a reproach." I told them how the land of my God had been favorable to me, and also about the king's words which had spoken to me. Then they said, "Let us arise and build." So they put their hands to the good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official and Geshem the Arab heard it, they mocked us and despised us and said, "What is the thing you are doing? And you rebelling against the king? And are you rebelling against the king?" So I answered them and said to them, "The God of heaven will give us success. Therefore his servants will arise and build, but you have no portion, right, or memorial in Jerusalem." So basically Nehemiah goes out, inspects everything, comes back, tells everybody, says, "Hey, let's get all together and let's start rebuilding this thing. Let's put it all back together." That's what he's trying to tell everybody. And everybody was in favor of it. They said, "Let us arise and go build." That's what they said in verse 18. And so they put their hands to the good work. And then what happened? What happened next? Opposition, right? By who? Some officials, right? So these officials didn't like what was going on. Anybody got in a situation like that before where you started a good work? Or maybe it's something here at the church, you know. I noticed you guys got a bunch of shoeboxes back there getting ready to be packed up. That's a cool thing. I like going over there where they package all of them and spend an afternoon over there doing that stuff. But how many of you guys ever tried to lead something? Or maybe it was a Bible study. Or maybe it was something you wanted to do with a ladies group or a men's group or something like that. You know, and you start putting things together and then you got these people in the background just nagging with you, nagging at you, you know. It gets annoying, don't it? It can change our attitude real fast. It can take our attitude in the direction we want to go and make us just start backing off because our focus starts, "Well, what are you talking about?" And we start going this way, you know, when really the Lord said, "You need to go this way. Don't worry about them." So I'm sure stuff like that's happened to you guys, but look at his response, Nehemiah's response in verse 20. He said, "So I answered them and said to them, 'The God of heaven will give us success. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build, but you don't have any portion here. You don't have any rights here. You don't have a memorial in Jerusalem. You don't need to be saying nothing.'" He just basically, "Hey, be quiet. We're going to get to work." And so, I don't know. Things can get tight. Tensions can get wound up a little bit. You know what I mean? When things happen like that, it's so easy. We'll keep this within the church, okay? A lot of times it's easy to put things off on the world. You know, they got problems, right? The world's got problems. They need Jesus. That's what we say. You know what I mean? But within the church, sometimes tensions just like, they don't go together and they start rubbing the wrong way. And people can start looking at each other weird, and it's like, "Well, they said something I don't like." But how do we get over that? What's some things you guys have done? Because I could go to any church in America, and this could happen to anybody. You know what I mean? And if it didn't happen here, it's happened in your family or something. I know there's something that's happened before where you've had to try to work things out between people. What are some good methods that you guys think is helpful and beneficial within the church when things start to butt heads? What are some things we can do? Talk it out. Face to face, right? Why not do it over text? Things can go wrong. You can't read people's faces when they're texting you, unless they put the little angry face or the little happy face, right? I don't even know where those things are on my phone, but my girls, they can tear it up. They send all kinds of weird things over text messages. But what are some other things? So we go talk it out with them. What if it don't work then? Pray about it. There we go. Good. I'm sorry? Yep. Pray about it. Pray about it. Go to them. Try to talk it out. Try to see where they're coming from, maybe. Anything else? What are some other things you can think of to build up? Yeah? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Yeah, one of the best advice for me personally that I've listened to is to just take a minute and think about what you really want to say. Because for me, I can have a tendency to just, I want to handle it right then and there. And I've gotten better over time of just taking a step back. Saying, whoa, what did they mean by that? You know, you can imagine me, like, somebody don't like my barbecue. I'm like, what do they mean by that? You know, no, it's, barbecue's a whole different story. But when things come about, I know we've been on mission trips. We've been on all kinds of things that the church is doing. And it doesn't take but just a few words and everything can be ruined for the night or for the day or for the afternoon or whatever's going on. And you got, we're supposed to be different, right? We're supposed to be different from everybody. And we got a lady at our church. She'll always tell me, she'll say, Josh, she says, that salt, we're supposed to be the salt and the light, right? The light can go dim sometimes, and the salt can become saltless. You know, it can lose its saltiness. And when it starts doing that, our reputation just goes downhill. So, I mean, for us, I mean, the things that happen are going to happen. The tensions are going to be there. The shocking words or whatever it might be, you know, that rubs you wrong, they're going to happen. We got to be ready to deal with it. And so the response that we give has to be godly. It has to be thought about. It has to be prayed about. And you have to go to that person, like you guys are saying. I mean, there's things that we need to do and that we should do. And that doesn't mean it's going to get better right away. But our response, other people will see. Does that make sense? What we do and the actions that we have will definitely be looked at upon the world. They're going to look at us and they're going to say, those people in that building up there can't even see eye to eye with theirself. I ain't going in there. You know what I mean? There's just things that happen like that. So let's move on just a little bit. There's some interesting things here in the first part of chapter 3. I'm not going to read all of chapter 3 lists out a bunch of names that I don't know how to pronounce. But I want to focus on verse 5 for just a second. Verse 5 says this. Let me back up just a hair to give you a little background. Chapter 3, the whole thing lists out families and officials and priests and just people from all different walks of life building sections of the wall. It tells you what section they built, if they redid a gate, whatever it was. It's very specific. And that's how everybody started building the wall. They all took a section and they worked on it, and these people took a section and they worked on it, and these people took a section, and that's how they got things accomplished. And so, but in verse 5, it says this. It says, moreover, next to him, which is talking about a person who was making repairs, and names them, he says, the Tekoites made repairs, but their nobles did not support the work of their masters. In other versions I've read, it says they didn't want to get their hands dirty. Okay, so basically, it's kind of like this. It's kind of like, I'll be the bad guy, okay? I'll be the nobles. You guys are the workers. You guys are working on your section. You guys are working on your section. You guys are working on your section. And I'm going, you guys are pitiful. I ain't getting, I ain't, that's below me. That's basically what they're doing. They're saying, I'm too good for this. That's not my work. You guys have at it. I'm not doing anything about it. But think about it. This is recorded in Scripture. Okay? All these people are recorded as doing the work on the wall. You want to be seen as one of the people that are recorded doing the work, or one of the people saying, nope, I'm too good for that? I mean, what kind of example is that? And it says they're noble. It says, but their nobles did not support the work. So, I mean, where does that put us? You know what I mean? I mean, if we're supposed to be doing God's work, and we're supposed to be packing those shoeboxes back there, I'll pick on you guys, supposed to be packing them shoeboxes back there, somebody says, well, I ain't helping with that. That's for the kids, or that's for this, or I don't need to do that, or I don't need to do that. But people watch you. I mean, I'm not trying to, this is just speculation, guys. I'm not getting on nobody. I'm just saying, people watch. Just to be real, I mean, people form opinions. People start saying, well, I know what they're going to do, and I know what they're going to do, and I know what they're going to do. And that's the totally wrong focus. You know what I mean? The focus is to get those shoeboxes to the kids that need them, and to spread that little bit of the gospel with those wherever they're going for the day, you know? I mean, that's the goal. That's the mission, right? So with this mission, they've got people, Nehemiah's got people from the outside looking at them, and they're like, hey, you guys are no good. There's nothing you guys are doing out here. And so then they've got people on the inside that are starting to say, hey, no. This is below me right here. I'm not going to touch that. I'm not going to do that. So to get into it just a little bit further, all right, in chapter 4, it starts talking about the work being ridiculed again. And so these same guys that started mocking them, it says in verse 1 of chapter 4, it said, now when Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall, like he started mocking them before when he heard their plans, but then they actually started work, it says he became furious and very angry and mocked the Jews. All right? It said he spoke in the presence of his brothers and the wealthy men of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? And are they going to restore it for themselves? And can they offer sacrifices? Can they finish in a day? Can they revive the stones from the dusty rubble, even the burned ones? And so it just goes on and on and on. And so all this discouragement starts happening. And I don't know about you guys, but in life, sometimes it gets like that. Sometimes things happen over and over and over in our lives, and we just kind of want to shut down. We just kind of want to give up. Let's just stop this, and let's move on to something else. And this past week for me in particular, I'll be open with you guys, we've had, I don't know, just thing after thing after thing after thing. Even today we got news that it's kind of like, man, here's another big thing happening in our life, you know? And so the thing about it, though, is if you know Christ as your Savior, there's a power inside you that's not of yourself. And that power that's inside of you that's not of yourself is the one that will sustain you. Now, if you don't depend on that power that's inside you and you depend on what you have, things can just go downhill and you can start to give up and you won't be able to accomplish what you're called to accomplish, right? And so this discouragement over and over and over, it doesn't affect Nehemiah. Why do you reckon that is? Why do you reckon he's able to face the opposition? Any answer is correct, guys. That's right. His focus and his power is coming from the Lord, right? So in the very beginning, and what we talked about this morning, we didn't really get into what he's going to go through, and there's still lots more of what they're going to go through. But he's able to face this opposition because his power is not of himself. It's from the Lord. Even from the very beginning, like we talked about this morning with King Xerxes, he was able to ask for what he needed. It was given to him. God made a way. It all started that way, and we'll see it finish that way. Now, I'll be honest with you, there's times in my life where we've started stuff and knew it was of the Lord and wanted to do things and got sidetracked, got distracted. you know, turned our heads a little bit. And when those things happen, all you can do is just ask for the Lord to forgive you for it and to move on and to pick back up where he left you off. I know there's an old study out there by Henry Blackaby. I did it years ago, probably when me and Corey first got married. But anyway, one of the things about it was like finding your way again. And one of the things to do for yourself was to just think back and say, okay, Lord, I've gotten off track. What was the last thing you had me doing that you wanted me to accomplish? And you go back to it and you start revisiting it and you're like, okay, I'm getting back on track now. You know what I mean? And that's the only thing we can do is get back where he wants us to be. So basically, Nehemiah, I'm going to kind of cut over to chapter 6. And if you go to chapter 6, I think I mentioned this morning, and you go to verse 15 and 16, it says, so the wall was completed on the 25th of the month, Elul, in 52 days. When all our enemies heard of it, and all the nations surrounding us saw it, they lost confidence, for they recognized that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. Now, somebody's got to give me something here. Somebody's got to give me something to where you can say, the Lord definitely provided this in my life. What has he done for you that was remarkable that other people have seen that they can testify and say, there's no way they were able to accomplish that by themselves? Anybody got anything? Go ahead, Otis. Yeah, just before we came here, we were down at Natural Tunnel, and Corey's grandma that's up here visiting, every time we're with her, she always, when we leave, she always looks at her grandkids, which we're the grandkids, you know. She looks at us, or she's starting to do it to the younger ones now, like our kids and stuff, and she'll give you little tidbits. And right before we left today, she said, Josh, she always grabs you, you know. She always gets your hand or something, and she looks at you. And she said, Josh, she said, I want to tell you that we make things impossible, but God, there's nothing impossible. So why would we even think impossible is a possibility? You know, and I'm like looking at her like, do you know how much profound truth you tell us every time you speak? I mean, there's things that, like you're saying, when God tells us to do something, obviously he's going to make a way. And I can testify on our own personal life. I mean, there's times where I don't know how we made it, but we made it. It's not like he just sent a check to us in the mail, but he'll provide this for me to go do or provide that work for me to go do. And, you know, this bill might be lower this month than this month. It just, he makes things work out to those that are faithful to him. And just time and time in, like the whole thing with our son in the hospital, I mean, we went in. And at the time, he was covered with insurance through Medicaid, I think, at the time, through his birth until he was one. And 16 days after his birthday is when we had to take him to the hospital. And it was during Christmas. It was those 2 weeks between Christmas and New Year's. His birthday is on the 22nd. So it ended there, and we were like, yeah, well, you know, we'll be fine. Once we get back to work and all that stuff, we'll get the insurance switched or whatever we need to do. During that time frame, he went to the hospital. And it's like, that was just another thing. You know what I mean? I mean, it's bad when people have to go into the hospital or something like that, and then they start thinking about the financial side of it. That can take a toll on you, you know. But it's like the Lord just said, I'll take care of it, you know. And with time, he did. I mean, everything's fine. Everything worked out. But this whole situation with Nehemiah, the things he was able to show to us through leadership is unreal. And the dependence that we have to have in order to provide the right leadership, that dependence upon the Lord, it takes a lot. Because if you're of the Lord, you're going to have opposition. We know that, right? Things are going to come. Trials are going to face us. If you're not of the Lord, it's just common. You know, it's just common. Satan's not really worried about those things that people are doing that are lost. They're already lost. It's up to us to fight that spiritual battle and go out there and try to share the gospel with those people. And when we start trying to get serious about that, just like Nehemiah got serious about going and rebuilding these walls to show protection to those people, he faced opposition, and I guarantee you will too. Because that agenda, the Lord's agenda, the kingdom agenda, is definitely the opposite of what Satan wants. So it's going to clash. You're going to hit horns. You know, like we had cattle growing up, and we had bulls that would come off the pasture, and they would get in the fence with each other, and you'd see them hit heads. I mean, it was rough. And sometimes we do that to ourselves. You know, sometimes our focus loses focus from where it should be, and we start focusing on each other, and that's where we start losing it. Like, we need to focus on each other in a different way, not an opposing way or an opposition way. So I would encourage you guys, take what's coming out of Nehemiah. It's not a very long book. Read it. I mean, you can read it this week. Just read it. Read a chapter, a couple chapters each day. I think it's 13 chapters altogether. And see where Nehemiah takes the people and where they wind up. And this is a nation of people. Remember earlier we were talking about the remnant that was left? He takes that remnant and puts them back in place. But it all started in chapter 1 with a prayer to the Lord and a burden on himself. So that burden and that prayer that you can offer, you guys go back to it and reread it and start outlining the things in his prayer in chapter 1. And you'll start to see that this couldn't have been done without the Lord's help, without the Lord's hand. So tonight, just kind of take that into practice and start thinking about how he used his prayer and how can you take his prayer and the way he used it and apply it to your life for this coming week. And what you guys are going to be facing, and you know, whatever it might be in the months to come, you know, what's the shoeboxes, or you know, the next church dinner, or whatever the thing might be going on, or maybe it's a coworker at work that you're dealing with something on, or a family member, or something like that. Just think about how you can incorporate Scripture into your prayers, give thanks and praise, ask the Lord where you failed at, then go to Him with your request. Like, there's a process there of the prayer. So just think about this week as you go about it. Anybody got anything else they'd like to add? Open mic, so to speak. I don't want to steal anybody's thunder. If the Lord's got something on somebody's heart and you want to share it, feel free. Go right ahead. We'll kind of end with this. Me and Corey have, since we started the restaurant, there's been things, kind of like you were saying, Mr. Otis, about we don't know if this is going to work. You know, we don't know how we're going to get through this or get through that. And for me personally, for me and her, when things start coming at us the wrong way, or when we start seeing a problem arise, or we're like, what are we going to do here? What are we going to do there? If I start to think about what I can do to fix it, it doesn't work. I'll just be honest with you. It just doesn't work. But when I start, like if I'm thinking we need to do this to create more money or create more income, or we need to do this to make last longer or whatever we need to do, maybe we should go here, go there, change this method or change that method. It's like after I go through the process, Then the Lord says, wait, didn't I have you right here? Doesn't that mean that I'm going to hold you and sustain you? And you would think after everything I've been through in my life that I would have been able to say, well, sure, but no, it's not like that. I still, to this day, depend on me sometimes instead of the Lord. And so for me, this whole week, and to be able to come here and talk about Nehemiah to you guys has been a blessing to me. So I just appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me. And we'll just kind of close out. If anybody's got any announcements or anything before we close out, we all good? All right. I'm going to pray and close this out. We'll head home. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the day. God, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the lesson this morning that you gave to us, the lesson on prayer that Nehemiah prayed and the process he went through and all the opposition and military strategies he had to go through and people threatening lives and problems within. Thank you that we can have these things, these history lessons, Lord, that are recorded for us to go back upon and see how you work through those things to give us encouragement. So, God, I thank you for the evening. Thank you for our lesson tonight. Thank you for what it's done in my life. Lord, I pray that it affects the people here. And God, I just ask that as we move out throughout the week, go to work, go to the house, deal with family things, deal with work things, coming back to church. God, I just pray that whatever opposition that is waiting us, Lord, that we would be able to face it the correct way with you in front and us right behind you. Lord, we thank you for all you were able to accomplish for us. We thank you that you sent your son to die on the cross for us. And God, we know that that promise holds true forever. And so we thank you for what he done for us on the cross. Thank you for saving us, Lord. Thank you for calling us your own. We ask all this in your name. Amen. All right. Thank you, guys.